The first test match between Australia and England was played in Melbourne in 1877.
One of our enthusiasms is a game, this game called cricket.
In 1882, after the first win by Australia at the Oval in England, it's been known as the Ashes. The Poms and the Aussies have been trading blows with willow and leather ever since. Now, Ashes-winning legends Matthew Hayden and Mark Junior Waugh have teamed up with English spin sensation Graham Swanee Swan to bring you their views, their opinions, and show off their many other talents while Australia tours England. This is Willow Talk with Haydos, Junior and Swanee.
Back for another week on Willow Talk, Mark Waugh, Matthew Hayden, Byron Cook over here, and in the absence of Adam Gilchrist, who did a tremendous job on
he was wonderful, Cookie.
How good was
he?
On our all Aussie Willow Talk last week, we did sign him up at the start of this series. Graham Swan is back, guys.
Well, I thought it was a good week to go all Australian for you lot. Sorry.
Wow.
I just keep breaking into laughter for some reason for the last 10 days. Yeah. I'm not sure what's wrong with me.
There's only one thing worse than a winning Pom. And that's a winning Pom that's won the Ashes.
Yes, if you were listening.
You only sing when you're winning.
Yes,
sing
we do.
When you're winning.
And last week it was too close, wasn't it? It was too close to the event. So Adam Gilchrist sort of softened the blow for us all. But Swanee, it's like they just won yesterday with Swanee, despite the fact it was weeks ago.
Well, I've been saving this up. I mean, it's not often you get to just gloat in front of Matt Hayden without the threat of physical danger, because I'm 5,000 miles away, so I can say what I want.
One thing that is coming up, we're looking forward to it. Rhino is on the show, guys. Ryan Harris is
champion.
Coming up next. Now, there's
a champion.
There's a bowler we could have.
I wish he was in England bowling, but he's not. He's with us.
We said we were going to miss him too, June. That's what we did say.
We've lacked a bit of control with that Duke ball, haven't we?
And then in the second hour
of
the show.
Did you guys actually know that he was coaching our bowlers after he got injured, just on the slide?
No, but I hope he got as much coin as what you're getting paid at the moment anyway.
Yes, Swanee in our London studio.
Share the love a bit, Swanee.
Doing more functions as usual. Guys, also in the second hour of the show, this will be interesting because, gee, there's been a lot of controversy around John Buchanan. So he is on the show in the second hour. Make sure you are listening to that one.
Oh, big buck. Where's Warnie? We get Warnie on as well. We're going to have a little stoush.
So here we go. It's all coming up on Willow Talk with Swanee, who is back, Junior and Haydos. This is Willow Talk with Haydos, Matthew Hayden, Mark Waugh Jr. and Graham Swan. Swanee and our next guest. Wow, gee, the Aussies could have done with a few of his 5-wicket hauls. So we lost him leading into the series. A massive loss for us. Ryan Harris is on the line, boys.
Ryan, how you going, mate? It's Haydos.
Good, thanks, boys. Good to see you, Haydos.
Well, mate, it's been just under a month since retirement. You've been back home here. How do you feel about stuff? Could you imagine it would have gone the way it's gone?
Oh, absolutely not. No, the series has obviously not gone to plan. I never saw that coming. So it's been a bit of a surprise, but and obviously been, you know, tough to watch since I've been home. But well, look, to be fair, England have played very, very well and deserve it. That's the thing. They're a very tough team to play in their own conditions, and they've showed that again. So all credit to them. But personally, I'm feeling okay about it. I guess the first couple of weeks after my surgery, I think it's 3 weeks now since my surgery. So up until probably a week ago, where I was literally just sitting on the lounge, not being able to move, it, you know, I was a little bit bottom lip dropped, I guess, and kicking cans around, and, you know, that sort of stuff. But since I've been up and about a bit more and moving around and getting some other stuff sorted, what I'm going to be doing the next 6 months, I guess, is made me feel a little bit better.
Just on the bowling side of it. You know, you've been to England, all the bowlers have been to England. The Duke balls, is it that much different bowling with them compared to the Kookaburras?
It is quite, I think it's a bit different. Yeah, I think the seam's a little bit bigger, a little bit more raised. The ball definitely swings a bit more. And even looking after the ball, you know, getting, you know, the ball can look like it's about gone with no shine on the ball. And you can buff it up a lot to get it back up. So I think it is a little bit different. But
none of those things, Rhino, none of those things are bad. I mean, everything you mentioned, that's like saying the bats have got better, they're bigger, they're thicker. Like, at the end of the day, you know, what is it about the control that's difficult?
I don't know, to be honest. I've been trying to think about that, and that's been totally the difference between the two bowling groups. I mean, basically, the way I've thought about it is what we did to England in Australia last time they had done to us. They've just bowled absolutely beautifully and not given our batters a chance to settle in. I mean, I remember having conversations with Dave Warner before I left, you know, England, and he was at times, especially during the Cardiff test, even at times during the Lord's test, even though the result went our way, but he wasn't sure where he was going to score because the pressure that was being put on him, he wasn't getting the width, he wasn't getting the ball that he'd normally hit, and he was leaving a lot more balls. So, you know, it's just that pressure that's been put on. We haven't been able to maintain it. We've done it in patches, but not as much as not as many sessions, I guess, as the England guys.
Yeah, actually, one bloke who's going to agree with you is Graeme Swann in our London studio.
Gloating.
Oh boy, Swanny, here's your moment.
No, I'm not going to go. I said at the start of this series, as soon as Ryan Harris was injured, that was England's ashes, a massive loss.
Yeah. But another Nostradamus moment.
have you had that moment yet where you've sat at home thinking, even though I can't stand up at the minute, even though I am kicking cans around, I can still bob out of them in this shower on TV?
there's a little jab I was waiting for. No, I haven't, mate. No, look, obviously, I mean, even if I'd have been there, I don't think I would have tried to do my best. But I think, you know, you look at what's happened, as I said, the difference between us and you is just that being able to put that pressure on both ends. And, you know, if I was to do it at one end and Stark wasn't the other end or vice versa, then we're not doing our job in that. And I still think the result would have been the same. I mean, I'm not saying for 1 minute that if I'd have been there, that it would have been completely different. Absolutely not. As I said, we've just been outplayed. And as I said earlier, that you guys in your own conditions are very, very hard to beat and a very good side.
I reckon your batting's been missed as well, because, you know, the top six are all batting with blinkers on at the minute. And you coming in at number nine and cover driving everything from leg stump through the offside. I mean, that used to be horrible to bowl at. And then the old lap slog at Adelaide. I've not forgotten that.
Yeah, well, it's easy to cut. Well, look, the best part about that, I mean, that last series we played, obviously, is that when the batters do the job at the top, you come in at the bottom and all the bowls are tired. So all the, you know, the broads and the guys that are bowling quicker, a little bit slower, so you can whack them. That's my
sort of thing. It's a glorious time to be a tail ender, isn't it? When they've hit 500 on the board.
He's very humble, this bloke. Right. But Rhino, if you've got time to hang around, mate, we do want to talk to you about the future, because I know you've been planning and there are some things in the pipeline that are very exciting, mate. So can you stick around for a bit?
Absolutely. Yep.
Excellent. Ryan Harris is on the line, guys. It is Willow Talk with Matthew Hayden, Mark Junior War, and Graeme Swann. Ryan Harris is our guest on Willow Talk. Matthew Hayden, Mark Waugh and Graeme Swann in our London studios. We've already touched on how much we missed Rhino during this disastrous series, really, for Australia. After 113 test wickets he took and five wicket hauls, four of them in Ashes test. But it's the future we want to talk to Rhino about, Junior.
Yes, it is. And good to hear that he's recovering from his operation. Rhino, hopefully you're up and about pretty much normal shortly. What have you got lined up? You've got some coaching jobs. What's the future hold for you?
Yeah, I guess I'm getting more mobile for one, which is good. But you know, for me, it's I'm very lucky at the moment. And, you know, I've through my time, I guess over the last couple of years, I've managed to complete my coaching certificates and getting all that sort of stuff up and going. And coaching's where I want to go. So, you know, I'm lucky enough at the moment. I've had a good relationship with Cricket Australia through that whole time. I've managed to pick up some work with the National Under 17 team, which will be picked from a carnival, Under 17 carnival, which compete in our Under 19 carnival in end of November, December.
How's
in Adelaide,
that work, Rhino? How's that work that you're Under 17s in an Under 19 carnival? They run it as two separate carnivals anymore?
Yeah, it's two separate carnivals. So what the concept is now, and I'm only learning myself, I must admit, Ados, because I haven't sort of been around the junior setup much in the last few years, but. So we obviously have an under 19 national team, under 17 national team, under 16, I think, under 15. So they're basically picking the best out of that age group. So that in my case, the under 17s, that's the Australian team they'll pick, and they play in that against the older players to try and get them a bit more experience and play against the bigger guys and the more experienced guys. So it just gives that competitiveness, that more experience against bigger, harder players, I guess. And gives them, you know, hopefully a leg up when they're growing up. There's some guys that will potentially represent their under 19s state side that are playing in under 17s already as it is. So it just gives them that bit more experience, I think, against older players.
That's a great idea doing that. I'll tell you, 10 years ago, you could have argued that they put the under 17s in there just so the 19s get a chance to paste a team to what it's like to play England in the future. But I can't say that anymore, can I?
So from there, I mean, I've got some work with the Australian under 19 team as well at the upcoming World Cup in Bangladesh, which is
Good luck.
Yeah, I keep hearing that. I haven't been to Bangladesh, so I'm looking forward to the experience.
It is gorgeous.
Yeah, I keep hearing that as well. So I'm very lucky to get those opportunities, and it's something, you know, I'm really looking forward to. And as I alluded to, I haven't had a lot to do with the junior cricket over the last few years. So for me to get back into that system and get to know a lot of the young guys coming through and look at the talent, I'm very excited about.
Guys, is Swanee now sort of some sort of Lonely Planet ambassador for Bangladesh? I mean, what are you doing here?
I'll tell you what, there's, if you've not been there, Rhino, you're in for a treat. When you play at Chittagong and the wind changes direction about 4 p.m., and blows the smell from the abattoir next to the ground over. It is just something to behold.
Beautiful. Oh, well, that used to happen in Chennai. I mean, there's a couple of times a long time ago in Chennai, I used to get the drift off the canal at the back.
Trust me, it makes Chennai smell like a bowl of potpourri.
Oh,
beautiful.
Sell it in, Swanee. Well, what an exciting future for Ryan Harris.
You've painted
a beautiful picture, Swanee. But look, obviously, yeah, sadly missed. It was such a bummer for every cricket fan and for everyone here on the show, mate. So you've had such a great attitude throughout. And thanks for your time on Willow Talk, mate.
Thanks, guys. Always happy to chat.
Good on you, mate.
Cheers, Ryan.
There he goes, Ryan Harris. And coming up next, we will stump Junior. Graham Swann is back to ask the questions. And will Mark Waugh be any good at it? That is the biggest question of all.
Don't doubt me, Cookie.
Okay.
Come on.
It's the best of five. It is coming up.
3 out of 5 every week.
2.9 average. 2.9.
On Willow Talk. This is Stump Junior on Willow Talk with Mark Junior War, Matthew Hayden and Graham Swann. So we know the way this works, boys. It's like a well-oiled machine now. Swanee asks Junior cricket trivia questions. Matthew Hayden laughs at him, and I keep track of the scores. So take it away, Swanee.
As ever, I've delved into the cricket history and written my own questions. They have not been sent to me via electronic means at all. So let's see.
And
how
Junior has not seen them.
I have not
Junior
seen
Junior does not have the answers written in front of him. Number one, which is a topical one. Now, that's a new word that Mark Waugh has learned today. Before this test started, how many runs has Australian captain Michael Clarke compiled in 8 innings in this Ashes series? So before the Ashes were won victoriously by England, magnificently at Trent Bridge in that famous victory last week, how many runs did the Aussie skipper, the main man, the best batsman in the world, how many runs did he got?
I heard the question. Don't have to repeat it. Well, 8 innings, I'd like to say 400 runs, which is about his test average,
but that's a fair bit
over the what he has done now.
I think that's what the team have got in eight innings.
Yeah, very funny, very funny. Yes. 8 innings, he's averaging about 12, I think, and he's had a not out in there as well. So somewhere between 90 and about 130, I would say. I'm working it out.
All right.
Averaging 12, and he's had a not out at 30, not out at Lords. So
doing the
maths. It's going to be a bit more than 96 with that not out. So I'm saying 110.
Got him, yes.
Close, but no. It's 117.
No chocolate, but I reckon you get half a point for that.
Did you like my logic, though?
Yeah, I did.
I loved
you've
your
always
logic.
Been logical.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Half out of one.
That showed a true batsman as well. Straight away could work an average out.
Yeah. Well, I've seen my punter too, so I know averages on the bookies board. So.
Nearly every batsman I know can't even spell their own name, but they can do maths. Jesus.
I used to have to count my score as well, because when we were playing junior cricket, Stephen and I looked the same bats.
You get a bit wrong. You stole each other's runs.
The score would give half the runs to Stephen. So
that would have been a massive and fight.
Is that why you grew the mullet, just so you'd stand out?
Yeah,
yes,
exactly.
I like it. Anyway, number two, the final result of the 1985 Ashes series, please.
That's just 85. Well, we give you a touch up, didn't we?
You weren't there.
80. No, that's 89. Jeez, yeah. 85. You guys
not
won
far
that
off
one.
It, though.
No. England
obviously
won that series.
Famous for Wayne Phillips.
Wayne
being
Phillips,
caught
what
a short leg off Alan, square cutting into Alan Lamb's foot, and then being caught.
Yes. And we had a bit of a, we didn't have much of a bowling attack. Jeff Thompson, I think, might have played that series. Simon O'Donnell, big Henry.
Beefy was at his prime then, wasn't he? He was all over it.
Yeah,
Lammy, Beefy, Gower.
You won, so 6 test matches in 85. 3-1.
Oh, beautiful.
Got it.
Yeah.
Well played. Beautiful. There were two draws, of course.
I'll tell you what, Haydos. I'll tell you why I know he's got the answers written in. How did he pull 6 tests out of the bag there if it wasn't written?
Did I? Because I've got half a brain, unlike you dopey spin bowlers.
This is so suspicious.
He is astute. He is very astute, but not convinced. Our eyebrows have been raised the whole segment of this, but
hang on. He's on 1.5 out of 2 here, Swanee.
Push on, Swanee.
Let's get him into 3.
Yeah, I believe the moon landing's more than this. Anyway, to this day, David Gower holds the record for most consecutive test innings without registering a duck.
Wow.
How many innings? Wow, this is massive.
I didn't even know he held the record. So how am I going to guess?
Just
how many?
Just give him an X.
We'll make it quick.
He's out.
How many innings is? I've got no idea. 80.
Got him. Yes.
No.
119.
What?
Wow.
Without a globe.
For someone who flashed so violently outside the off stump as well. Wow.
Oh, he looked like he was and half drank, asleep as well.
And drank
when
white.
He
well, that
bat.
Was the white wine that he.
No,
had
he's champagne,
for.
Wasn't he?
He was champagne. Go.
1.5 out of 3. Let's go to 4.
1.5. Okay.
Right, number 4. Well, we've got David Gower's in the question again, and also a man who's been mentioned on this show in the past, a hero. Who retired first, Gower or Alan Border?
Well, thinking back, I never played against David Gower. My first Ashes series was 93, so he would have retired before then, and I definitely played with AB after 1993, so I'm going to go Alan Border.
Mm. Who retired first is the question.
Who retired first? David Gower.
Correct.
Oh, beautiful.
Very good.
We're helping him a bit there.
The
beautiful.
I didn't read my sheet properly.
I remain speechless. Whoever wrote it as well has no idea how to spell border. Okay, Swanee, don't claim that because...
Spelling not critical for radio.
I haven't seen that sheet, so...
Final question. I've lost count of the scores and don't care. Final question.
Two and a half.
Well, it's a good job you don't care as well because this is a ridiculous question. Out of these three legendary moustache wearers, Alan Border, David Boone and Mervyn Hughes, who was the first one to shave it off?
Well, that's pretty simple.
This is the easiest question.
Mervyn Booney have still got the caterpillar just lurking around their top lip. AB's got rid of his caterpillar.
Congratulations. Well done.
Oh, beautiful.
That's only 0.4 of a point to add to your 0.5.
Why?
So 2.9 for the week.
He's ended up on 2.9.
2.9 average.
I got 3, didn't I?
Yeah. Yeah, but you've been detracted for that last question, which was...
I didn't make it the question.
It was overly simple.
There we go. Well done, Junior.
Move on.
Playing right on his average. Coming up, it's the segment where the boys reveal themselves. It's Tell Me Something We Didn't Know. Cricket fans love this because you guys share something deeply personal and it's a competition too.
We're running out of stories, though.
Well, hopefully you got one more each here because we're doing it. Yeah. Get thinking because it's up in the next few minutes on Willow Talk. On Willow Talk with Mark Waugh, Graham Swann and Matthew Hayden, it's time for Tell Me Something We Didn't Know. Cricket fans love this because you guys, you know, for you it's just whatever, but for the fans they go, wow, share with us those personal, intimate stories. And I, Byron Cook over here, will judge who has gone deepest. Now, Matthew Hayden, what a tease it was. He said he was going to take us into his home. It doesn't get much more personal than that.
Yeah, so I'm going back into my house, okay? So, you know, as cricketers, I guess you accumulate a lot of rubbish, and in particular, you accumulate some wonderful memorabilia. And I just wanted to paint the picture that in my house there's not one piece of memorabilia other than at the front door I've got a magnificent painting that David Bromley, who's an artist out of Melbourne, made for us, Kel and I, you know, just celebrating the Baggy Green. So as a young boy, a beautiful piece of memorabilia or art that sits at our front door. But apart from that, there's nothing. So cricket in our house is sort of hasn't really reached there. It hasn't really defined our life. But it didn't really strike home to me just how little we'd involve the kids in cricket until I was sitting around the breakfast table in 2012. London Olympics were on. Swanee, you were probably there celebrating in your usual style because the Poms were having a fantastic Olympic Games. Australia was struggling in pretty much all of its sports. So we're all glued to what I think is the premier event of the Olympic Games, and that is the 100-metre dash.
Mm.
The fastest man on the planet is on the track. He's trackside. He's run the race. He's done it in record time. He's almost looks like he's just jogging it. He's that good. And he gets to the end, and he's, you know, doing his usual Usain Bolt we're talking about. He's done his usual sort of pull back of the arrow, he's shooting it off, and he's doing his dance, and he gets interviewed. And in his interview, one of the journos said, and you know, who's your hero? And he came up with two people that have been on this show, and that was Adam Gilchrist and Matthew Hayden. Anyway, our kids were all sitting at the breakfast bar, and my son, Joshua, middle boy, he's looking at the screen just with this perplexed look on his face, just thinking, what the hell has this man just said? Anyways, he's just sort of taking it in, and he finally came out with, Dad, what's he talking about? He says, you're just my soccer coach. How are you? How are you, his hero?
You were name checked by Usain Bolt after the Olympic 100 metres. That's an incredible story.
It's a true story, yeah. It's a true story. I just couldn't believe it either. But, you know, he does love his cricket. You know, being Jamaican, he loves it. He's always sort of.
You would have thought he would have liked fast bowler, wouldn't you? But
yeah,
that's Brian Lara or something. What's more incredible than that is the fact that you're allowed to teach soccer to anyone, because I've seen you play that.
That is actually a good point.
Those size 13 feet of yours and those big spikes. Wow.
I am horrible. You're right. Now, guys, two left feet.
I got to say, as the judge in this, good luck to Junior and Swanee. You're going to need it.
He's talking about himself a lot. So my story will be about Matthew Hayden as well, because this is obviously the Hayden hour.
Thanks.
this goes back to, I think it was Hayden's first year at Northampton as captain. So, you know, 2000 or something like that, a long time ago.
How'd you go with Haydos, captain? Fair dinkum.
It was good. He was a bit angry a few times. It was just the day he lost his ACB contract and then got caught third slip and didn't walk. That was an interesting one. That was a good dressing room bust-up. But this day, we'd played a game and we'd been hammered the week before, and Haydos wasn't happy, and he'd given us all a dressing down saying, look, you're being soft. I don't care if you've got mates in the opposition. You know, you leave that at the gate. We're going hard in the next game. There'll be verbals. I want a lot of physicality, a lot of body language. We're going to show him his boss. So we're all like, yeah, fair enough. And we were playing Glamorgan. And Glamorgan had this opening batsman called Alan Evans, this lovely little lad who was stone deaf. Mutton Jeff, he had the two hearing aids in. He couldn't hear a thing. And he couldn't bat with his hearing aids in because the wind used to whistle around his grill, which isn't funny, but it makes me giggle. So he's walking out to bat and I'm at slip. And Hayden's like, right, who's this, mate? I went, oh, this is Steve James, you know, on the left. He scored, you know, 68 first class hundreds. And Alan Evans. He goes, right, I'm stuck into this Evans. I wouldn't bother, mate. He's stone deaf. He went, shut up, Swan. You think I'm going to fall for that? Shut up, you idiot. And then turned around and gave Alan Evans the biggest serve from, like, just behind his right shoulder. Mate, you got your game face on, have you? Oh, you can't hear me, mate. Oh, here we go. Oh, welcome to the game. And honestly, and then walked back to me and goes, oh, he's a tough little cookie. He didn't even flinch. But then the game was only given away. So poor old Alan Evans has gone up to his crease and he's stuck his bat down to take his guard. And before he's looked up, the umpire said, that's two legs, Alan. And then the next minute he just went, oh, can I have two, please, umpire? And Hayden just turned around and go, ah, you weren't joking. Oh, God damn it.
Whoa.
It was brilliant. Yeah,
that's good.
Good luck, Junior, because they're two of the best stories I've heard.
I'm gone. Can I pass? Or?
He's retired hurt.
Well, my story, John Buchanan's on the show, so my story actually revolves around Buck. And we're in India on a tour, and we were playing fairly ordinary cricket halfway through the tour. I think we might have lost the previous test. We're playing a tour match in Delhi. And we're all moping around a bit. We're all a bit crook, bit of dysentery and headaches and the hot weather. And I'd actually had six stitches in my webbing. I split my webbing during the game. And so I was sort of moping around a bit. And Buck gave us a real dressing down after the day's play. He said, I'm sick of you blokes moping around. Get your head up. Get stuck into it. And come on, let's show a bit of energy and a bit of fight.
Ticker.
And I'm thinking, Jesus Christ, I hope this bloke gets sick on this tour. Because there's nothing worse when you're playing, is there?
It's horrible, isn't it? You're paralysed, really.
Anyway,
not wearing white trousers.
Oh, he eats everything. He's an absolute machine, Buck. He's a big, goofy-looking dude. 6'8". He eats anything. He's drinking anything. He's got ice in his drinks. And I'm thinking, this bloke has got to go down crook at some stage. Well, would you believe it? He never got crook the whole tour. This is his first time in India. He's eating everything, drinking everything. So my story is, how bloody resilient is Buck? He must have an iron gut on him.
Well, it's a good plug because he is coming up on the show in the next 20 minutes or so. And Swanee's was the funniest story I've heard for a long time. But in terms of it being revealing and really inner sanctum, it's got to be Matthew Hayden. He's the winner today.
Oh, yes.
And his own son not knowing that he was a cricketer, as Usain Bolt thanks him after winning a gold medal at the London 2012 Olympics. But that's the greatest story I've ever heard. Well done, CC.
That's phenomenal.
Unbelievable, Hayden.
By Usain Bolt. Wow.
And he's won it. Congratulations, carryover champion Matthew Hayden. John Buchanan will be joining us real soon on Willow Talk.
The first test match between Australia and England was played in Melbourne in 1877.
One of our enthusiasms is a game. This game called cricket.
In 1882, after the first win by Australia at the Oval in England, it's been known as the Ashes. The Poms and the Aussies have been trading blows with Willow and Leather ever since. Now, Ashes winning legends Matthew Hayden and Mark Junior War have teamed up with English spin sensation Graham Swanee Swan to bring you their views, their opinions, and show off their many other talents while Australia tours England. This is Willow Talk with Haydos, Junior and Swanee.
Well, this is going to be an interesting hour on Willow Talk with Mark War, Matthew Hayden and Graham Swan. Coming up next, the man who coached Australia from 99 to 2007. He had a bit to say during the Ashes, and Warnie had a bit to say about him.
Guys like John Buchanan trying to do cheap shots and say that he's let the culture of the baggy green give us a break, mate. Are you for real? This bloke had no idea about the game of cricket, John Buchanan. Never played the game, doesn't know what the players go through, and suddenly starts saying he wrecked the culture of the baggy green. I mean, that is just a disgraceful comment from someone that had no idea about the game of cricket. I tell you what, John Buchanan told some of us players that we weren't worthy enough to wear the baggy green.
Whoa. Wow.
I thought he's going to have a heart attack. I mean, the quote is settled down.
Here's the thing, right? The quote is, players like Steve Waugh, Adam Gilchrist, Ricky Ponting and others really tried to make the baggy green culture something special. But I can sense it was under threat, and under Michael's captaincy, I can sense it has disappeared a bit, and that disappoints me. I mean, what point did he say that any of what he said there?
It sounds like someone's read a headline and not the actual article.
Yeah. Warnie's just got his really?
Bonnet.
Yeah, in his bonnet.
I sense that Shane Moore doesn't like Buchanan very much. I don't know.
You're so intuitive, Swanee.
I'm picking that up.
What we will do, and I reckon we should do this no matter what, back me in here, guys. I want to play that audio to John Buchanan. We're good for that?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, you can do it. I'm in England. I'm 5,000 miles away. Do it.
We're going to play it to him next when he joins us on Willow Talk. You're listening to Willow Talk with Matthew Hayden, Mark Waugh and Graham Swan in our London studios. Our next guest delivered Queensland their first Sheffield Shield back in 94-95. Hayden.
Yes, Junior, did you hear that?
About time. Jesus, it took a long time.
So there we go.
It's just long enough, Jumbo. Then it just poured, didn't it, Bucko?
That's the big one. Also, coach Australia from 1999 to 2007, the three consecutive World Cups for this man and a world record 16 consecutive Test match wins, which was fantastic. Three Ashes series victories as well, weren't they? Good back in the day, those Ashes series victories.
Do you remember those?
Oh, Swanee, it is John Buchanan on the line.
Well, what do you make of this, Bucko? What's the go, fella? You've seen a couple of Ashes victories. What do you reckon about this series?
Oh, look, it probably takes me back to 2005. I think we came into that series and England, we probably underrated them a little at that stage. I think we were a little bit underprepared, albeit we won the first Test match and then. Fiji decided to stand on a ball.
Wrong place, actually, wasn't it, that ball?
He's always doing something stupid, though, Buck.
We had to get Casper a Test match somehow.
We did. And he almost stole everybody's heart, didn't he?
Yeah, he did too.
So, look, I think there were little similarities there. The ball was swinging around a lot. England exploited that pretty well. I mean, Haydos, you'd know that more so than others because you're at the top of the order and you're trying to combat that. So, they played well and we just finally went up to the mark to win that series. And that's what I really sense here a little bit. There were a few things that were happening behind the scenes in 2005 as obviously there has been in this series for the Australian team. So, some similarities there.
All right, boys, I think we're going to have to play it. I think we do.
We definitely should.
The infamous Warnie. This is the Warnie audio, Bucks. This is Warnie on the Today Show. Let's have a quick listen a little earlier in the Ashes series.
Guys like John Buchanan trying to do cheap shots and say that he's let the culture of the baggy green give us a break, jeez, mate. Are you for real? This bloke had no idea about the game of cricket,
first
John Buchanan.
Cricket.
Never played the game, doesn't know what the players go through, and suddenly starts saying he wrecked the culture of the baggy green. I mean, that is just a disgraceful comment from someone that had no idea about the game of cricket. I tell you what, John Buchanan told some of us players that we weren't worthy enough to wear the baggy green.
Seriously.
That sounded like a little kid who's had his sweets taken off him. getting angrier and angrier and angrier.
So what have you done to Warnie, Buck? I mean, you weren't that nasty to him when you coached him, were you?
Well, it seems, what haven't I done to Warnie?
Yeah. He's just brewing over those boot camps. He mustn't have liked them too much when you're in charge, Buck.
No, he wasn't a fan. That was a pretty important time for us getting ready for that next Ashes assault, which was 2006 and 2007. We should remind Swanee about that.
Yeah, that was the one, Bucko, that we won in 11 days, wasn't it, by memory?
Yeah, I didn't see that one. What
woohoo!
Well, actually, this might be a good time to take a very quick break and come back and chat more with John Buchanan. Plenty more to work through, mate. Are you all right for a couple of minutes?
Certainly.
Great stuff. It's Willow Talk with Swanee, Haydos and Junior. John Buchanan is our guest. You're listening to Willow Talk. It's Mark Waugh, Graham Swan and Matthew Hayden. Of course, coached the Aussies from 99 through 07, the 3 consecutive World Cup wins, the 16 consecutive Test match wins. And we've spoken about Warnie, but there's plenty more to get to, Haydos.
Well, that's right. I mean, it's all about the high performance culture, John, when it's a role with what you have as national coach. So how do you think, because you really introduced someone like Pat Howard, or certainly that role, that high-performance manager, you really introduced that to cricket. And how do you actually reckon after the Argus report that that's actually now being taken on board in cricket?
I guess it's obviously had its ups and downs a little bit. Two things. One is there needs to be some form of high-performance role that oversees the whole high-performance program, the elite program. I think coaches come and go, players come and go. What you need is some continuity, consistency in your system, and therefore that needs to be driven by somebody or at least a role that will maintain that continuity. And in a sense, that's the high performance role that sits across all your programs, sits across all your sports science, and it ensures that there is that continuity. And it's also a role that really should be then scouting various systems, not just in cricket, but in various sports and from around the world. So that's kind of the role. Who answers to that then is the coach. The coach to me is the head coach of the Australian team. That's the person who drives your main high performance program, which is your national team, your Australian team, of course.
And Buck, I read somewhere last week or week before that you said selectors don't need selectors, should be just basically the coach and the captain who picked the sides.
It's a bit close to home for you, Mark.
Did I read that properly, Buck?
Careful. Junior, are you going to go on a Warnie rant here, Junior, or not?
I'm afraid you're gone, Jim.
I'm gone? Okay.
Every week, Junior looks for a little bit of a cuddling, a bit of nurturing, and he gets donuts every week.
I've got a two-year contract.
We had Big Casper on last week, Buck, and he was giving Junior donuts as well. He said he went to the popular vote, and Gilly then confirmed, well, yes, Junior's gone.
So just explain that anyway, Buck.
No, well, look.
Before I throw that bit of that acorn in the bin, just explain it.
No. In New Zealand, while I was over there as the high performance cricket manager, I did the same thing. Basically, I decided that there were too many voices that really were getting in the road of, allowing players to actually just understand what was required of them and then do the job that was required of them. At the same stage, I wanted to place greater responsibility and accountability on the coach to run the program. So the head coach ran the program. Now, obviously, he can't get around the countryside, so therefore it then was on the shoulders of the domestic coaches to be his ears, his eyes, and be those, a quasi-selection panel, because it seems to me always that the coaches are much closer to the players than anybody else. Doesn't matter whether selectors, are on tour with players, the selectors will come and go, and they will also have different opinions. And even if they were relatively close to the coach, which obviously Junior is. He's a great bloke, so he's always
teacher's pet. Very really. Close. He to was the front of the classroom when it came to the team meetings.
Very close to the coach. That's but enough.
Every now and again, you hear Junior just blow up and give the old, "Oh, that's rubbish, Buck," and that'd be his contribution to the team meetings.
You're a bit of a bully, Buck. You're a dead set bully.
He's had a couple of massive. Have you got a favourite rave, Buck? You know, in terms of dressing room sprays, have you had a favourite? I mean, you've sprayed Junior, which was good.
Yeah,
I can think of a few. If you can't think of one or two, I'll remind you of them.
Will you? Well, I do remember one.
The Godfather.
Buck sprayed AB.
Buck sprayed AB.
Oh, you've got to tell that one, Buck.
Well, look, that was this was in our first year Shield, my first year coaching, and we got to the last game of the season, and we were still we had a chance to get into the Shield final, and we'd had a really poor day on our first day, and the other couple of teams had gone pretty well. So, in a sense, it looked like we were destined not to make another Shield final. Yeah. Trooped off the field in Tassie, and I just knew I could just wander into the dressing room and just be in the normal sort of self.
Stupid self, yeah.
Yeah, I had to sort of psych myself up to think of everything negative that I wanted to say and everything that I could say angrily. So I jumped into the dressing room. It was those little old dressing rooms, which you recall, which were really small and brick. And so I slammed the door and it reverberated. And I told Ray Phillips and a couple of other people to kindly leave the room in not so kind terms. And then I told everybody to sit down in front of me. And who should be sitting virtually right in front of me but AB? So he was the first person I had to target. So
what did you tell him?
What are you doing? You know, this is ridiculous. You're playing like a school child. You know, we've talked about this for the whole summer. You know, you're carrying. Anyway, it went on for about 5 minutes. And I surprised myself how well I was going until I ran out of steam. And then I ran out of steam, and then AB just tore into me. Said, you know, how dare you talk to me like that? How dare you talk to us? We have every right to be disappointed. Blah, 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 blah. And on he went. So then he ran out of steam, at which stage, rather than actually have another crack, because I knew I couldn't do it, I basically looked around a few of the young blokes, and young blokes like Matthew, Wade Seckham, and Doss, were you there?
Yes,
were you in amongst all
this? I was by a
little chubby fella in the back.
I had the tinder on the fire, don't worry.
Yeah, Jimmy Maher was there, Martin Love, and they're all sort of sheepishly wondering what the hell is going on, so I sort of gave them a stern look, but then came back to AB, I think, and I kind of said, look, that's exactly what I want to hear. Yeah, you know,
you turned the double negative. You turned it around.
Yeah, very well played.
It was brilliant coaching.
That's beautifully done. I mean, in a way, guys, it means we don't have to ask the Flight Centre question. It's all about being prepared. Book early at flightcentre.com.au, the preparation habit. That's the preparation there, what we've just heard. I mean, just give AB a massive spray. that's how it's done.
Lombardi moment, isn't it?
Good sport. We really appreciate you joining us. That is John Buchanan, a fantastic record as the head coach of the Australian cricket team.
Always adding an intelligent weight to the cricket conversation.
Absolutely.
Just hope he doesn't get a job with Cricket Australia, because I'm gone.
Selectors not required. John Buchanan, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks,
my pleasure, guys. Thank you very much.
Yeah, there he goes, John Buchanan. And coming up on Willow Talk, Graham Swan is back, which means Swanee's wrong and returns.
Yeah, we missed him.
Brilliant. Yeah. There's a round of applause.
We had Roy last week, but
Gilks was a good operator, and so was Simo. But you know, we've got him back.
Oh yeah, Roy tried a few impersonations, Roy, which was a disaster.
He did a boycott, didn't he?
Yeah, but sounded South African. Swanee.
he had a cold as well.
Swanee, can you just at least give us a little tease as to what we can expect? It's where you impersonate a cricketing personality, and it's coming up.
I've got one of England's former leading Test run scorers.
Ooh,
he's coming in series today.
Can't wait. That's coming up on Willow Talk. On Willow Talk with Haydos Jr. and Swanee, it is time for Swanee's Wrongen. We know Swanee has a bit of a talent for impressions.
Favourite segment, I reckon. A good laugh.
The way it works, Swanee will impersonate a cricketing personality. Mark Waugh and Matthew Hayden will try and guess who it is. So, Swanee, I suppose it's time for you to leave the room and bring in your guest.
Yeah, I'll see you in a bit, chaps. Come on in, mate.
Yeah, all right.
Morning, guys. Are you all right?
Good morning, legend. Who are you?
What's going on?
Now, get
What's
out.
Happened?
You, get out. That was Gooch. Get out, Gucci. It's me, Boycott, and I am not happy. And I'll tell you why I'm not happy.
You don't have to guess.
Michael Clark, Junior, you can shut up.
Oh, we were supposed to guess, weren't we?
Australian selector, you should be hanging your head in shame. What's the matter with you? Letting Michael Clark have another test match. When you've lost the Ashes, it's a joke. Australia's gone soft. New Zealand is stronger than you lot now, I tell you that. Stronger people. Oh, it's disgusting. Who else is it? Aiden?
Yeah, he's still there.
I blame you for this.
Why? How's it my fault?
2005, you know, bringing all these sixes over the bowlers and they can't bat these days. They can't defend because of you. These kids, they grew up watching you. They're a joke. Warner. Ooh, he leaves three balls, he gets out, plays a crazy shot. Clark, don't get me started, a joke. Smith, number three, unbelievable. I tell you who can bat, Joe Root. He can bat, he's a Yorkshireman, you know. He can bat, watch how he plays. Now, number one in the world, rightly so as well. It's been a while since a Yorkshireman were there, me. Wow, yeah. Oh, I tell you. Oh,
has anyone from England been number one?
Stop talking, Aiden. You've got nothing to talk about.
Put Gucci back in. He's a good fella. Get Gucci back.
No, what? You and Gooch, Essex this and Essex that. You're a joke.
Essex days. We won everything. Boyks, we won everything. All the trophies.
I tell you what you didn't do. You didn't win the championship 28 years on the bounce like Yorkshire did. I'm off. Bye.
There he goes. Oh, jeez, he's violent.
Wow.
That was. I mean, he didn't even care about the format. He didn't give you a go at guessing or anything. Just unbelievable.
He's taken over, Boyks.
Is Graham Gooch back there?
I'm so sorry about that. No, Gooch is in a pile on the floor out there. He's got a bloody nose.
A pile of hair, did you say?
Oh. Wow. That was something. There we go. Swanee's wrong and we'll be back. Next week, you all right?
Yeah, well,
he's breathing hard.
He's nearly as mad as Shane Warne there.
Coming up next on Willow Talk, the boys will share Ashes moments from days gone by that we'd prefer to remember. Some Ashes moments coming up with Haydos Jr. and Swanee on Willow Talk. Okay. This is Willow Talk. You've got Mark Waugh, Matthew Hayden and Graham Swan, Byron Cook over here. Almost done with the show, guys. But before we go, we want you to all share an Ashes moment and we will start with Haydos.
Well, I'm thinking back to happier times. So
yeah, you do that.
Well, I don't really boast like Junior. So, you know, every time's 100 and I got this and I got that. But I was just thinking of a happy memory. Oh, and mine was... that's okay. You've got right a reply. Was Ashes Test match at the Gabba. Australia won by 384 runs. But there are no fewer times, June, and you'll appreciate this, scoring copious amounts of hundreds. There are no better times.
I've got no comment, mate. I don't want to boast.
On the planet as a batsman than when you're not out overnight in a Test match on 100. Ooh, you've got the next day.
Yep.
You've done all the work. That's my Ashes moment. I just wanted to gloat a little bit. It was at the Gabba.
Is this the Ashes where before lunch on the first day you walked down the wicket and hit Craig White over his head for six?
That was with the second
innings, isn't it? Yeah, the most demoralising innings. But just imagine your first day of the Ashes. You know, you stay up at night, you're a kid, you think this is brilliant, and you watch that, and you go to bed about 3 hours later thinking, oh my God, this is...
I'll tell you what really fired me up though, Swanee. You'll appreciate this. It was big Andy Caddick.
At
the first break, England had taken, I think, one wicket at that first break, and I went up to Andy, and I hadn't seen him. You know, often touring sides, they don't get together. And I said, oh, g'day, Andy, how you going? Anyway, he shouted me down, how do you think I'm going? You know, it's one for nothing, you know, one for 100 and blah, blah. And I actually wasn't trying to be a smartass at all. But I came in the dressing room and I thought...
That is unusual.
No, that's true. But I actually went in the dressing room and I was ropeable. Like I had a full moment of just, you know what?
Red mist.
Andy Caddick's feet are going to be bleeding by the end of this day. And if they're not bleeding today, they're going to be bleeding tomorrow. So I went to that sort of that first innings overnight, 100, next day, licking my choppers, Andy Caddick there again. He actually got me out eventually. But for 197.
So you got a few.
How quick does your score seem to go once you get past 100? It's just weird. Like when you're batting, your first 20 or 30 or take for ages, when you get to 100, you look up and you're 140 and without
you even... You've got no fear, have you? Yeah. That's the thing. You bat without fear.
I don't know what you two are talking about.
Yeah, Swanee wouldn't know.
Actually, should we give
you a
ding? I
wouldn't know either.
Did you just mention your own 100 during Hayden's story?
I think it was almost...
No, not really. It's just a generic...
Yes, we'll still give you a ding.
I'll tell you what, ding him, but also...
Well, I've got 80 of them.
Double ding me, Cookie.
Yep.
Because I got 197 the first innings. And then I was spearing over to get 200, so I got a neat 103 the second innings.
Oh, beautiful. Oh, there's another ding.
There you go. Add up to 300.
Now, guys,
well done.
Matthew Hayden, as always, Matthew Hayden's story went a little over time.
That's
so
right. Well, I'll cut mine short. Well, mine is relates to the Oval Test. I always like to bring it back to where the Test match is being played.
Topical,
so,
well done.
Yeah, topical, that's the word I was looking for. So I'm going to Mine's not that happy, actually. It's Don Bradman, 1948. Yeah, right. That's his last test match at the Oval. Did you know that?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the fans do, but were you there? I mean, this is meant to be your moment.
No, I wasn't there, but I've seen it on footage. I didn't have to be there, did I?
No, sure.
I've seen it, so.
What was the name of the bowler for 2 points?
He's a leg spinner, Eric Hollies.
Oh, very good.
Not much chop.
Whoa.
But not much. Was he no good, dude?
No, no. Wasn't much chop.
Was there a spinner you rated or what? I mean,
Murley. Yeah, Murley. Yeah, okay. Playing Mustard. Never played Swanee, so I can't comment on Swanee. Yeah, but only needed 4 to get an average of 100 in his career, and got bowled for a globe by Eric Hollies. A little leggy that I reckon it went
second
between
ball googly.
Bat and pad. Yeah, it went between bat and pad, didn't it?
Yeah.
That's the most famous duck of all time.
So he obviously averaged over 100 his whole career.
Yeah, so he ended up with 99.94.
So from the most famous duck of all time. And Swanee, your Ashes moment is a little more recent than Junior's, going back to the 40s. Yours is from only a couple of weeks ago.
I'm feeling this is going to be very scarring.
Last week, I feel a bit bad, actually. I'm following talk about the greatest ever batsman the world's ever seen, talking about myself. But, you know, Junior does it all the time.
Get the bell out. Just peel off 200.
My story, it's a bit of a Matt Hayden story, so it's not really got a punchline and it meanders a bit. But last week, because Jimmy Anderson wasn't playing in the game, I've got a radio show that we did with him before, so he was there, he was in his civvies, and we'd all organised, like, England are winning today, they'll win by lunchtime, we'll meet up later on, you have the drinks with the team, and then we'll meet up in town. And so the game finished and I'm there and I can see all the celebrations taking place. And, you know, this is 2 hours after and they're up on the balcony. I'm desperate to be up there, but I don't want to impose. I don't want to just walk up. So I'm kind of waiting for the invite and people are sort of waving from the balcony, but that's not official enough. So I sort of left it and I had a couple of drinks. Me and my friends started moving towards the team hotel, thinking meet up with Jimmy at any point. But the problem is, on the way back to the team hotel, there's a bar called Hooters in Nottingham. And those who aren't aware of Hooters, you know, wake up, get YouTube.
Yeah, we've got in Australia, actually.
The team was still in the change room singing team songs. They were still, you know, enjoying each other's company. The lights are going down. And I'd forgotten by this day, I was so drunk waiting for Jimmy Anderson to phone me. I'd forgotten England had even won the Ashes. I'd forgotten why we were out, who I was meeting, whatever. So I stumbled home at 11 o'clock with a livid wife saying, "What are you doing? I thought you were staying with Jimmy. I thought you were going out with Jimmy tonight." And honestly, I didn't know who Jimmy Anderson was. So my celebrations.
Seriously.
As a player, it's the greatest day of your life. You're in the Ashes and it's all team camaraderie on the balcony. And my first as a pundit was an absolute shambles. You know, being forced to sleep on the couch, the wife having none of it, saying, "Get out, you're an idiot. You're going to sleep on the couch." So that was my Ashes celebrations.
Quite right, too. Your wife's a good woman.
Yeah, she knows.
You are an idiot. There's no question.
Very tired and emotional there towards the end of that one. Okay, boys. We will be back again same time next week on Willow Talk. I thought overall Swanee was pretty well behaved today. I thought he might have been worse than that. So thank you, Swanee.
He was.
I've been impressed with myself, to be honest.
Okay. Back same time next week. This is Willow Talk.